glad for each one of you here this morning. I'm not the only one. I know the Lord is happy. I think the Lord's always happy when he sees where God's people wants to come to the house of the Lord. This week, starting tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock of at Sheldon Baptist Church. That's where Brother Hall was at, and Brother Roy Hall was there years ago. And then Brother Ken Hall, but Brother Tim Anderson's there now, and they have revival all week. And the individual's going to be holding the revival is going to be Evangelist Heath Williams. He's a young man, and he's on fire right now. So if you can't go, just pray for him. But if you can, see upon where you can try to go one night. I know they'd appreciate it. I don't know if I'm going to get to go, but I'm going to try. But we'll see then. But that's starting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock each evening. So, all righty. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. The 30th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to be reading from the 14th verse down through 19 or 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14 says, "But the word is very nigh unto me, unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his way, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land, whether thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is life, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. We'll go back over to verse chapter 7 in the book of Deuteronomy. And verse 6 there. Chapter 7 in the book of Deuteronomy. In verse 6 there. And it says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are among upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chosen you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, today for the reading of thy word, Father. And, Father, we are so thankful that it's just not in the New Testament where you tell, Father, that you've chosen your people. And, Father, that you've chosen us, Father, to do a work for you. Lord, it's also mentioned here in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Joshua, in different places, Father, where you have had your chosen people, Father, to go out and to preach your word and give it to the people there of Israel. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, I pray, God, today that you'll just touch me. Father, touch these lips of clay. Anoint me from on high, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And it says, then in verse 11 says, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statute and the judgment which I command thee this day to do them." Here we want to bring you a message on this thought that it's the goodness of God, it is the goodness of God's people to go about doing what God has chose them to do. God chose us before the foundation of the world. God knew exactly who was going to serve him. God knew exactly who was going to follow him and do his will. Now, some people say, "Well, you're getting away from eternal security then. You're saying God chose you, but he don't choose these people." No, every living soul that's had the breath of God in their body, that who is God have chosen, every living soul. God did not say, "Well, I'm going to have all you men and women, I'm going to have y'all to serve you, I'm calling you, and you serve me. And I'm going to have all the animals and all the trees and all that right here to serve me." He said, "Every soul, we are the only living creature that has a soul." And I'm so thankful that not only God knew exactly who was going to serve him, but God knew exactly who that he needed to release the Holy Spirit on. That the Holy Spirit would help them to go and do what he said to do. But it says over here in chapter 24. And it says right here, it says in verse 15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve." He's saying right here, says, if it's evil, if you think it's evil for you to serve the Lord, don't serve him. But he's not saying that. He's saying that because that you may think and serving the Lord is evil, we still need to choose to serve him. And it says right here, says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day ye will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as far as me and my house, we will serve the devil. No, ain't what it says. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord God. We need to ask the Lord to help us as we go about serving him. I just seen something down here in verse 19. In verse 19 there, it says, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. Jealous. Jealous. So that means we must be jealous also. We must be jealous. Why? Because we have someone else that may be doing more than we're doing. We can be jealous in that way that we want to do as much as they do or more. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. I want to use a word this morning, and we've just read about it, but it's over here in the book of Joshua also, Joshua chapter 24. Chapter 24, where I just read. It says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you, what? This day, in whom you will serve. Now we know also that in the New Testament, it speaks of Satan. It speaks that he is the master of the world and the prince, and the prince that is in the air and the principalities and among so many people's lives. But we, as saved Christians, we have to say to ourselves, I will serve the Lord. I will not serve the devil. I will not serve Lucifer. I will serve the Lord God Almighty. But I want to look at the word that where we just read here. Choose you. Choose. You know, we all make choices every day in life. Some are good, some are bad. Some have consequences to them, some don't. But we make choices every day. You say, well, I didn't make no choices today. Yes, you did. You made a choice to either stay home or come to church. You made the right choice today because you're here. We can also make the wrong choices. We can make the wrong choices to the point that we say, well, I just don't feel like going this morning. I just don't feel like going. So I'm going to stay at home. There's some mornings, there's some Sunday nights or some Wednesday night, I don't feel like coming. But then my daughter, my wife, will always remind me, says, well, you have got to go. Because you're the pastor. And one thing about it, when I get here, I'm glad I come. I know that one time right after I first got saved, I can remember leaving work on a Wednesday evening and going to church because I'd worked at 6 o'clock. And I didn't have time enough to go home and take no shower or do anything. So I just went to church early. But I left work. And I'd leave, and I'd have a headache. Man, it would bounce from one side to the other. And it was throbbing. I said, well, my wife's going, so she's going to meet me there. So I reckon I can have just a headache at church as I can at home. And I'll get to church. Then I'll start talking to other people that's come to church. Start talking to them and what kind of day they've had and all that. And then I just forget about my headache. I'd forget about it. It wasn't why the headache won't steal on one time. I just forgot about it. We play on sympathy for each and every one of us. We play on our own sympathy. We play on our own health problems. We play on it. To allow God, to allow the devil to use it to where we won't be no good to God. You know, God, he don't like murmuring. He don't like us to dwell on just one certain thing all the time. He wants us to dwell on many things. And all the things that he wants us to dwell on is that lost sinner, the one that's dying and going to hell. It may be our brother, it may be a sister, it may be our mother, it may be our father, it may be a grandfather, it may be somebody in the family. We don't know. They say that, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I know where I'm going. But the thing about it, they never tell you how they met the Lord. And I, you know, people that don't tell you how they met the Lord, I'm just curious about, you know, who did you meet? But, you know, people today, they just think that they can just say that and everything's going to be well and everything's going to be good and everything's going to be great. But there's going to come a reckoning day. There's going to come a day when every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they're going to call him Lord. But they're not going to call it. The reason they, so many of them are going to call him Lord, because they just recognized who he was. But see, that already went too far. That went past the deadline. They don't have an opportunity to get saved. Because the only way you ever have an opportunity to get saved is with the Holy Spirit. Chasing you. With the Holy Spirit on your heels. And just chasing you down until you surrender. And when you surrender, that's when, I know y'all seen, I used to watch it all the time, the cartoon, The Roadrunner. You know how he'd start out running, and he'd start out digging, and the next thing you know, he'd be down below the earth. Hey, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will get a hold to us, and the Holy Spirit will grab our hearts, and it will grab our soul, and we'll start running. We'll start running, and we can continue on running until we done dug the hole deep enough to where we can't run no farther. That's when we'll ask Jesus to save our soul. I love to talk to people that want to talk about the same thing I love to talk about. Now, it's not that many people that anymore that you can go out here and get with or be around that wants to really talk about the Lord all that much. But there are a few people that you can go around and you can talk. Now, I called Brother Roy Newton on the phone and just check and see how his health is doing, how he's doing everything. And the next thing I know, I look at my watch and we've been on the phone for 2 hours. And the only thing that we've talked about in the whole 2 hours is about going home. And talking about this and that. Now I'll tell you something, that one man, he loves the Lord. He does. He loves the Lord. But there's other people that I can go to and I can call them, I can go by and see them. And they say, "How you doing down there?" "I'm fine." "I'm okay." Then they ask me, say, "Are you still saved?" I said, "Man, what you talking about?" I said, "I can't get unsaved if I won't get unsaved." And I mean, I just love talking to people about the Lord. It gives me strength. It gives me encouragement to where when I do meet the individual out here, they don't want to talk about the Lord. And I know they go to church and they say that they're a Christian. They say they're always at church and stuff like that. And revival, but they don't know it. They want to talk about this and that. And that's okay, that's fine. I know people don't want to really, per se today, talk about the Lord all that much. But I do. I love talking about it. Because I know him personally. But I had a choice to either choose him. You say. I had that choice. He give us all a choice. And we must choose. And what choice are we going to make? Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to do everything we can to make him happy? I don't want to disappoint him. I've disappointed him too much in my life, but I don't want to disappoint him anymore. Why? Because he's been so good to me. He's been so good to me, and I have felt this week, I told Brother Bill last night, I believe it was, that this week, I have felt better this week than I have in a long time. I don't know why it is, but I do. My legs are stronger, and I thank God for that. At least right here, right now, I'm standing without my cane. Hallelujah.
still carry it with me. I'm going to carry it with me. But it's not going to hit the floor. I'm going to tote it like I've been doing. Why? I don't want to use it as a crutch. And if I take it and it touches the floor and I lean on it, I'm using that as a crutch. We can use what God has given us, and if we don't watch it, we'll use it as a crutch. We'll use it as a crutch. And we shouldn't do that. But we make choices every day. First thing we do in the morning, when we get up, we make a choice. We make a choice. And whom we go see today. And whom we're going to talk to. When we go to work, or when you went to work, or something like that, you made a choice when you went in. Who was you going to speak to first? You made a choice of what you was going to say to the individual. We make choices. Some are right choices and some of them are wrong. But the only way that we'll ever, and I mean ever, make sure that we always choose the right one is make a wrong one. You know, I've had people to tell me, he says, you know, preacher, I don't do anything wrong. Everything's right. I do everything right. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I remember the first job that I ever held. When I at that time I quit high school, so I went out to work. And I went to work then at Motor Parts and Equipment down Roadside Drive as a delivery boy, delivering parts. When I went in there and when I took the application and when I filled it out back in the back room, and he told me the owner of one of them was a part owner. His name was Mrs. Carter. He said, when you get through with filling it out, you bring it back up here to me. If my door is shut, then you're scared at the office and they'll get me and say, as soon as I get through. I said, all right. I went filled it out the best that I knew how. Because it was the first one I ever filled out. I didn't know if I was filling it out right or not. I didn't know what he wanted or not. I mean, I didn't know what he really wanted me to put down something quick. If he wanted me to kind of feel a little bit and tell him what I think he wants to hear or something like that. But I just went and filled that the best I could. And I give it back to him, and he didn't say a word to me at first. He looked at it, and he looked over it, and he read. And he said, I've got one question for you. I said, oh, no. Man. I answered one of them. I know. Got one question for you. He says, do you ever make any mistakes? I said, Lord have mercy. I said, is this a trick question? I said, no. This is an honest question. I said, Mr. Carl. Yeah, I really do. I make them all mine. He said, you are. He said, because that individual that tells me, he said, no, I don't make mistakes. I don't want them. Because they're not working. They're doing everything they can to try to get out of work. But people that make mistakes will learn on their own. And I know that we have businesses out here today that they don't think that we need, that we are prone to make mistakes. But the owner of them companies and the supervisors and everybody else, that says, no, you made a mistake. Now, if you make two or more mistakes, we're going to have to let you go. Well, bless Pat, I'd rather have somebody that makes mistakes and can correct you, be able to grow within their mistakes. And the next time, in doing it the right way, because they have learned the right way to do it. That's just like what my daughter said. My daughter told me, says, well, she was telling me and my wife one time, said that down where she works at, this was some years back, now probably, like 15 years ago, I reckon it was, that she thought about going back to school and get her CPA, her CPA license, so she could take the test. And she went to a boss and was talking to him about it and everything. He said, well, is this what you want to do or what? She said, well, you know, I thought I'd go back and get it. And he told her this. He said, you can go back to school and you can learn everything that they teach you. You can make 100. On everything that they teach you, you can pass it with flying colors. But when you get out of school, when you come in, and when you start your CPA, learning the process, I'm going to teach you my way. Because you're not working for them, you're working for me. And I've got my own way of doing things. And you're going to do it my way. And how true that is. We have got to realize also that we have got to do it God's way. We cannot do it our way. Because if we do it our way, if I do it my way, then it's going to be completely wrong. If I come down here and if I took on the church and started pastoring the church, and if I didn't ask the Lord to help me and lead God to direct me to go in the way that He wants me to go, I'd have been a failure. I may not have been a failure to you, but I'd have been a failure to God. Why? Because I would not want to do it God's way. How many churches do you know? How many preachers do you know out here today that they're not doing it God's way anymore? They're doing it their own way. They do it the way of the people. Why? Well, last Sunday we had 130. And on the next Sunday, I just do something different. Maybe you get 130, go up to about 150, 140. Next Sunday, comes up, yeah, they got 150. But then he gets to looking at the board again. He says, man, see where the money was going up in. If there's something next week, do we get more people in? What is he looking at? He's not looking at the people that he has. He's not looking to God to help the people. He's looking to that board the way he can go to the deacons or what committee he's got. They always got committees. They got 10 or 15,000 committees on the church roll. And they go to the committees, and what they go to committees for is what? To get more money. They said, well, you know, last year we run about 125, 130. Now, look what we're running now. We've got almost 180. So So we're going to have to start building. We're going to start adding on. That's it. To me, I think that's the biggest mistake that all these churches is going into now. Is building these life centers. Is building all these buildings out here where they can go in and promote sports and stuff like that. What's wrong with going back in the 70s and 60s and 50s and the 40s and the 30s to where when this church right here started overfilling and on Sunday morning and for Sunday school, the church, the pews were completely full and downstairs, every room down there was completely full. What would be wrong for that in that? In taking the church and saying, hey, we're growing. We don't need to be building. We don't need to be go ahead and build a big building. We need to go out there and start a system, church. Go out there and start another word. See, that's the reason I believe the churches that have gotten the shape that they've got into. Because, see, they got away from all of that. They got away from all that. Why? Because they got these preachers that comes out of these seminars. They got these professors in these seminars. They tell them, they said, well, you ought to take a church if you don't get at least $50,000, $60,000. Now, I know this to be a fact. An individual told me that went to the church. This is probably around, probably close to 20 years now. They went to Liberty, the pulpit committee. They went to Liberty Liberty Church, everybody. Not to school, they went to Liberty Baptist Church. I mean, Thomas Road Baptist Church. They went up there to hear a young boy preach, because he was going to be preaching that night. They went up there and they heard him. They really liked it. They really did like the message he brought. I mean, they said he was right there in the line. It was King James Bible all the way. And he didn't light up on it. When he preached about hell, and he was not heavy. He says he got hell hot. And hell was just as cool as you can, just a cool breeze. So we talked to him out there, and we invited him to come. Now, they've been looking for a pastor for right at a year then. And this individual told me, said, well, we got him come. He come and he candidated for the church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, he preached. They talked to him Sunday night after they talked to him and everything. They talked to him about what the church could offer him and his family for coming. Because they had felt like that he was the man. They just heard him a few times. When they made the choice, they had to make a choice to ask him, would he come back, or would he even take the church if the church hadn't voted him in. They made him a choice. And then he had to make a choice. He had to make a choice to seek that God or make a choice in what they had told him, what they were going to give him as far as his salary. Now, as far as his salary, they was going to give him $40,000 to start off. Just coming out of college. They had a parsonage for him. That was free. This light was free. His telephone bill was going to be free. They gave him so much to put into a retirement for him. He had health insurance, life insurance, and he had health insurance on his family. They went out here and took his automobile, and they said, well, if you need new tires on it, you just get in touch with us. Let us know. We'll put new tires on the car. We're going to give you a card. All you have to do is just go to the pump and fill up new charges with this card. Church pays for it. He said, but that's not all. He said, then we're gonna go back within a year and we're gonna evaluate. And if we see where that you have stayed with the word and done what we felt like that you ought to do, in the way God would want you to do it, then we'll go back and we'll evaluate. And give some more money if you know. So he went back home. I know I take a long time to get something, but I can't help it. Because when somebody tells me something's good, I'm not going to let everybody know what it is. But he went back home. The next Sunday, the church voted whether for him to be a candidate for the church or whatever. And how many people liked him? Well, all the people in the church, they really liked him. They liked his wife. They liked him. Everything. I mean, they just got along with everybody. So, they told him, said, we'll call you Wednesday night after church. We'll let you know. Had a church vote if we were going to be the Wednesday after the next Sunday. And he said, okay. He said, I can give you an answer then, because that'll be a week and a half. They called him. One day, I forgot what day it was, Thursday or Friday, I forgot what they told me that. But it was, they offered him what I told you. Start now with $45,000. I mean, that was clear money to him. I mean, he ain't had nothing else. Except for what little groceries they were going to buy him. And I don't think you're going to spend $4,000 on groceries that year. Not unless they really eat high on the hog. I mean, they ate real high. You know what he told them? This is exactly what he told them. He says, I'll be graduating at Liberty in May of this year. My professor can't believe he said it. But that's what they told me. They said, he said my profession. Didn't only tell me, but he told the whole class that if you're aiming to go out and pastor a church, and you're aiming to go ahead and do God's work, you should not start off less than $50,000. And I said, well, wait a minute now. What all the churches were giving was going to amount to more than that, really. They said, that was salary. All the other ones was just so. I mean, how do they expect for God to bless them? That's the reason the devil is moving in the churches. The devil don't have to make no choices today. We're making the choices for him. We're inviting the devil in. But the devil's not doing him. If he does, I'm going to claim the blood, and he don't even want to hear anything about the blood. He don't want to hear anything about what I got to say. He don't want to hear anything I got to say. All the other churches don't either. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Because I'll tell you, if it weren't for y'all, I would not be preaching. You know what that? Churches don't want me preaching today. They don't want nobody to go back telling them, well, if you don't do right, you're going to just go to hell. See, they don't want, they said, no, you ain't supposed to say hell. Why not? They say everything else on TV. Why can't I repeat what Jesus said? Why can't I repeat what the Holy Spirit speaks? Why can't I repeat what God speaks? Because that's what God did. God threw Lucifer out of heaven. Why? Because he wanted to claim that he was God. So I'd say, hey, if you want to come in here, you go ahead and gospel. I'm not gonna browbeat nobody. I can't beat them over the head, because that's not gonna do no good. They ain't gonna run away. The reason I do what I do, because I love the people. I love people as a whole. I love sinners. I love the drunkards. I love the dope heads out here. I love them all. But it's with me and loving me, don't give me the right me to go get into our little sin project and do the same thing that I need to pray for. I need to pray for them and just let them know how much I do love them. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, the God that you give us, each one of us, a choice. And Father, we thank you for the choices, Lord Jesus, that you have allowed us to be able to accomplish. And Father, we just want to thank you. Father, be with the people, we pray this morning. And Father, we pray, Lord, if it's something upon the heart, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will grab hold of the heart and they will come to the front of the church.
Because I believe when he make a move, and when he come to the front of the church, that is telling you one thing, Lord. That they are willing to do their part. Well, Father, but they're looking to you for you to do your part. And we know that you'll do your part. But Father, we have to do our part first. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.